Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, January the 12th, 2010, and this is hour 117 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis, and a big aloha to everyone tuning back in here, downloading their show.
Yeah, the listeners are out there listening, and some of them are catching up, and it's always interesting to see. I saw there were 45 people from South Africa.
Wow, South Africa.
Yeah, yesterday, so it's just, sometimes it's a little bit of a surprise. Oh, look at this.
Well, that's the internet, and I believe that's the reason they timed and delayed many of the information, I guess you might call it information, or just the idea of having had the experience hidden somewhat in my memory, then being fully revealed, and also the additional dimensions that I was always working with, much more, you know, clarified now.
Mm-hmm.
Dimensions of what some people call psychic abilities are always there, but they have been become more often used, I guess. Not so much by myself, but by our friends, our celestial friends, who use that as a communication pathway. Of course, you know, that is a telepathic pathway.
How much of what they wanted you to forget have you remembered?
Well, what particularly was not necessarily not to be remembered, but to have it make certain knowledge, you know, actually have a real cue point where it just resonates right. Whenever I was studying scripture and looking into different religions of the world, or understanding the composition of our body, you know, our mind and our mechanism of how we are, and many things, we're not necessarily, you know, forgotten. They were just, it's much like how we can get refreshed in terms of our previous education.
Mm-hmm.
We really didn't forget it, but sometimes we need to have it refreshed, and that's exactly what happened. There was more of an absolutely fantastic refresher that happened, making the classroom, let's say the classroom environment with the Danal teacher, the high order of Danals, one of them was my teacher there. And when I refreshed, that memory refreshed, it was as if I just, you know, went out of the room. I just left the class.
Mm.
That's how real or refresh, how clear the refresher was. So it's kind of a nice thing. Now, presently, I can give you an idea of where that memory has gone. It's gone to a point where it is fairly normal. In other words, it's not as if I just experienced it. It's back a ways in terms of my memory now.
Oh, it's like
now. Like any memory that anyone would have.
Right.
You know, oh, did you remember your trip to so-and-so? You know, you went over to some place and said, yeah, well, you remember every little detail about that trip? Well, maybe not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Highlights are there. But if someone points you to a particular thing that happened there, oh, you think about it, oh, yeah, now I remember. That's how the memory is for some of the things that have gone on. I'm sure there'll be greater refreshers that happen. And refreshers are wonderful because they come in from as if the story is being told to you alive, but not through a storyteller, but a much higher level of refresher. In other words, you're enacted a much greater word. It's in the Bible, by the way. It's called the Word of Knowledge, and it has two points. One point, of course, being a refresher of a previously learned event or understood or taught, an event that was taught to you, or class, or knowledge that was taught to you, and one given at the point in which you receive it. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've been operational since the Spirit of Truth was bestowed to the earth, at the point in which Jesus Christ left planet Earth. In his place was given the Spirit of Truth, which helps to actuate and guide the whole planet. If it wasn't for the fact that there are many forces out there that want to quell or squelch that activity of divine guidance, what world would be a much better place right now. But those powers that be and those that have everything to lose and are trying very hard to destroy that means of communication and guidance. One of the key points being our relationship to our divine fragment, or a divine fractal within us, the thought adjuster, as the Urantia book calls it, or the Christ in us. There are many other names that have been given for that very same jewel or gem. It's been considered a jewel in Buddha teaching, Buddhist teachings, as well as Sanskrit, the Far East teachings. A jewel or a gem that has been. And those that have come in after, you can trace their origins to the point after Christ left planet Earth, Urantia. And the Spirit of Truth came and became fully engaged in the minds of men, so much so that an alteration takes place and a reactivation takes place. This has been typified or given a name by the Christian circles as the baptism in the Holy Spirit, or literally being infilled and overfilled till overflowing with the Spirit of Truth. It is typified as the invasion. The Urantia book calls it an invasion. And it feels much like that. But it doesn't have to be that way. It can be a much more gentle process. But if one is very insistent in getting as much as possible at one time, it can come in literally a gigantic wave that is beyond our capacity to receive. So it ends up being tremendously overwhelming experience.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's a little bit of a description of what's happened in those years when I really didn't have full knowledge. I knew I had a special event that happened very clearly, that I had a divine type event that was somewhat divine because of what I distinctly remembered, which was the beauty of the ship itself, the cross-shaped rays, that emanated from the vessel, or you might say the craft or vessel that he used, that Tan used, and it was given a beautiful look, and a star of gladness, you might say.
Of gladness?
Yeah, I'm just using one of the names that has become kind of famous in Hawaii, which is the Star of Gladness, or Hoku, which is Star, Hokulea, Star of Gladness, which was used for the Pacific navigators who navigated regularly between Hawaii and Tahiti, and mostly Hawaii, Tahiti, and used the Hokulea, the Star of Gladness, because it was a way in which they knew they had made their successful voyage. Voyaging by a canoe, with sail, no GPS.
No GPS, but they could read the waves.
They read stars and waves.
And they read the waves and see where the islands are.
Yeah, it's interesting that the navigators relate stories of stars as if, to a point as if knowing that we are truly star or creatures that are capable of navigating outside of our planet into our galactic environment using stars.
Mm-hmm.
So, any case, that's a level of our, you know, our legacy of moving throughout the whole planet of Earth. We are one race, but now, right now, there's no other race of being here that competes with us. We are the human race. We are one race. And via the internet, we basically come to a point of one language, and the language of our technology, which unites us, and it helps to simplify, and also makes the world a lot smaller, a lot flatter.
Flatter.
Yeah.
Why does it make
hidden, hidden points when you think about a flat Earth or a round Earth, of course, or not thinking about its geologic dimension, but, you know, thinking about it as in terms of its cultural dimension, where a round Earth would have hidden points that are opposite of it, of us, or areas which we are not related to, far on the opposite. On a flat Earth would, of course, mean that it's all related, just a little bit more distant. Anyway, though, enough with that.
I mean, it's kind of funny. The man who's been to Saturn and back is now talking about a flat Earth.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the most beautiful things is that those flat rings, the rings of Saturn, are laid out nice and flat.
Yeah, they really are. There's not much thickness of them in them.
No, but they really are. When you're there, they're just gorgeous. They're beautiful, beautiful to look at.
Do you think they're? Well, I guess they're held there with centrifugal force spinning around the Saturn.
No, not just centrifugal force. There's more to it than that.
But they're like in orbit.
Yes.
But they're all together. And they're gorgeous.
Yeah.
Cassini sent back some beautiful pictures of them. Thank you, Cassini. Well, Jay from Broadcast Urantia, he writes and says, "Hi, Curtis. A couple of questions for Michael I wanted to ask. It is no secret that I'm going through some interesting experiences, as I've mentioned in my posts But perhaps you might be able to shed some light on what it is that I'm going through. Could that voice or whisper that I heard truly be from the Holy Spirit transmitting images in my mind in a telepathic way? And as a result of this, I heard the words from inside. Or is it just some kind of possible hallucination I'm having? And is there a way to tell the difference? Lastly, could this be in any way a Morancho effect? This has been an incredible journey so far, and it just keeps getting better. Always looking forward to the next recording. Thanks, guys. Signed, Jay from BroadcastYourRancho.com.
Well, thanks for the comment and the question. Comment, of course, being about having these experiences, like an awakening, I guess. It's really what you're describing is waking up and looking around. And that's, of course, something that is we're supposed to function with. That awakening of and perception that is beyond the physical realm. It's within the spiritual realm, on a realm of our higher dimensional planes, which are also another realm to tap into. But at a higher acuity, when we are more and more attuned to our adjuster, our thought adjuster begins to become adjusted to who we are and literally can speak to us. And the spirit of truth, which is planted in a planet, excites us to seek truth. And in seeking the truth that we, the truth of that we desire, many times we are literally led down a pathway, and we become discoverers of these higher dimensions on our own. And when we find them, it's a somewhat new experience, and it can be tested. I've often tested them from my earliest awakenings of that time. And I think early on, I gave some indication of receiving guidance of being able to go into like a parking lot and find parking spots that are totally non-apparent. I have had until this day, I've always found them, whether they were there at the time of my direction or they opened up at a point where they seemed like, oh no, there you go, now I'm going to get you this time. This is how I've come to a point of working with my thought adjuster and working with that higher intuition, was when I get guided down and says, go down here, turn right, turn left, and go straight. And I go straight, and there's nothing there. And I says, now I got you. Now I know I'm listening to just my own self. And then right in front of my eyes, boom, somebody backs out. And it's like, okay, I turn right into the space. Well, I guess you got me that time. And I do actually play that game, right? Because I've been doing this. I'm working and testing the internal guidance with these physical, transphysical. In other words, they're moving from the higher spiritual plane of awareness into our three-dimensional and time-apparent frame, and testing these things. It's simple exercises. Recently, I went fishing with my son-in-law, my new son-in-law, and I was searching for fishes with my deaf recorder in an area which I've never been. So I decided, well, let's see where I'm at right now. So, just by using some of the known bathospheric measurements on my chart, I just navigated toward an area which I suppose would have some fish. Well, when I got there, I found out there wasn't any there. You know, what I thought wasn't any. So I began, essentially, I asked something very simple. Now you tell me where they're at. I used my navigation, I used my depth recorder, I used my GPS, I used radar, I used everything I had on the boat. Okay, let's see. Okay, you tell me where they are. So I'm playing this game. It's my thought adjuster. And I, you know, it's divinity, literally with God, having an exercise and a friendly game. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, God invites that. He wants us to actuate His will through our will becoming His will. And it's play. And there he went. And he told me to go a certain distance and take a certain bearing. And I took that bearing and went that distance. And I said, look, there's nothing here. And then, boom, this huge pile of fish showed up right under the recorder, right under the boat. And I went, got me again. He always gets me. And those are the little tests that I do to remind myself that I am attuned, and I remain attuned. And these things are just wonderful playtimes, you might say, father with child. My heavenly father, and I'm his child, and we're playing, you know. And it's a growing up thing to do, but, you know, we're growing up, but there's so much more growing ahead of me, but it's play too. So this is a way I've done it. This is my way that I've been attuning myself in little harmless ways, and sometimes ways in which have helped, you know, others as well as myself overcome, you know, situations which could have been fatal, you know, like avoiding certain kind of traffic or delaying in a particular area and traffic like that. And there's other things too. But these are little things that you can do. But anyway, that's somewhat of a repeat on the idea of putting the communique to a test. And realizing that it's our Father fragment within us, the Father fractal, divine, the divinity within us, urges us, wants us to develop that relationship, that personal relationship. And we can also develop one with the Son, Jesus Christ, or Christ Michael, the Creator, Universe Creator, which, of course, escorts us right into that relationship because he humanized the divine point. When he humanized it, brought it to a point in which it could be handled, the concept could be handled, those that wanted to protect their hold on this mystery, killed him. killed Jesus Christ. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he allowed that to happen. I mean, that was for what purpose he came, was to become a human or a mortal being on our planet. And as a result, it opened up the gateway for this divine relationship to truly take on higher dimensions. One in which we can truly be embraced by the Spirit of Truth, which is here, operating and guiding us, actuating, bringing life into what may have seemed like a distant relationship to the Father fragment, to God Himself.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I hope you're not lost in that. Got any idea, Curtis?
Well, I was listening like the listeners. And Jay's on the right track when he hears things, and he just wonders himself.
Yeah.
Where is this from? Is this really fooling me, or what is this?
Yes, and it's we have imaginations, of course, and we some of us are doing. Remember, in our reading concept of how to read the book faster, you're not supposed to sound out all the words in your mind. You just know them when you see them, not make various translations, just sort of look at them. Well, much of the times we can sound out words in our mind, and you can hear them, and then we really think that, well, that's the only way that, you know, our thoughts are, we can hear our own, you know, thoughts as, but the very fact that we are doing that is a tremendous link which is used. So the familiarity between that voice, our thought voice, the one we use daily in reading, is used at times. But I've also had times in which the voice has been one very familiar to me, and a voice like my father's voice was played instructing me what to do, and it didn't mean that my father was talking to me. It meant that it was a relay, and it chose that voice. I've had celestials themselves speak to me in a voice that is more comforting. They chose voices that may not have necessarily been theirs, because I didn't hear them audibly, but I could hear them in my mind, and they had different voices, and some of them chose voices out of my library of sounds and used them. So they can also that can also happen too, so that a voice may sound like, well, just my own thinking. But it's not. It's being used, and you can test it, because it goes way beyond what you normally could perceive. Such as I gave an example, using all my high-tech equipment and being thoroughly guided right to the most, you know, massive pile of fish, and saying, okay, you won. Anyway, and thank you very much for the guidance.
Yeah, that's, I guess other fishermen do the same thing without realizing it.
Some people call it like intuition or good guesses. Mm-hmm. But when you really get down to it, many of these guys are tapping into that same hierarchy of knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe they want to steer the fishermen away from the fish. Oh, go over here instead. For some reason, but well, that's pretty neat.
Well, it's just a little practical example, putting things down to earth where, you know, where we live, and we're trying to pull us up to a level which we're not familiar in. To exercise a capability we don't know is very difficult. So it's better to use something that we can know and test, which is right within our means, and then use the circumstances and see if they're repeatable. And then you realize it is. It's very repeatable, and it's very consistent. And then you know you've got a friend. You really have a friend that sticks much closer than a brother. That's his scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, let's Nicola from Massachusetts. He brings up something you were talking about before, and I'm glad he did. He says, "Hey, Curtis, I've been doing some research in the last couple of days on the pineal gland and its potential properties. Michael has mentioned it a few times. It's also known as the third eye. Anyway, one thing that keeps coming is the use of fluoride and how it renders the gland useless. Here's one of the many links, and I will put this link next to Michael's hour for hour 117. It's a good link to go into and learn more about the pineal gland, and also you can go and see other things from there. But he also says, I use a Brita filter for my water at home. This is where I get my water to ozonate. Unfortunately, a Brita filter does not take out fluoride. Do you know if the ozonator takes care of the fluoride in the water? Hope all's well, Nicola." Well, I wrote to Nicola and said the water ozonator does a lot of things, cleans it and puts oxygen atoms in the water, but it doesn't take out the fluoride. And I suggested he get a distiller. And on my new page called Water Distilled and Ozone, there's a chart in there, and it shows everything the distiller takes out, and a very good chart to go over and look at. But getting back to the pineal gland, very interesting, Michael. So I let you take it from there.
Well, the pineal gland, of course, is that gland which Nella Anisevan, when she delivered me back home, said that she had worked with a tiny gland inside of my head, way in the middle. And I said, "Was it a pituitary gland or something like that?" And I said, "No, it's not that one." But she never told me it was the pineal gland, but she said it was deep within my brain. Now, one of the interesting things about the clarity of my visions that I receive from them are, and how they play over my own vision. If I have my eyes open, I can see, and it's almost like I have another, like a third eye, and plays another very clear vision, which I can focus in on. And I think I did share a little bit of a vision. I still don't know what it really means. Many times these visions are so symbolic because they're a way of clustering information into a very quick time. You know, there's, you know, a way of pictures worth 1,000 words. A vision is worth 1,000 pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And the information is there. But it does need a vehicle for translation into our conscious mind. Our conscious mind, which is directly, you know, truly a part of our brain, our living tissue, has a vehicle. And that vehicle has been supposed as a pineal gland, but it's much more than that. It's a high receptor, and it was something that has been on Lucifer's agenda for a long time, one in which his agenda said to destroy, that he is manipulation, and his way of ruling would take place. And if he could simply, you know, get it away from the human race. And it was taught in the ancients, given pictures where the dragon is trying to get this gem, the pineal gland, away from the human race. It's a wonderful gift. And once attuned, and once we attune to the spirit of truth, the spirit of the Holy Spirit, spirit of service, divine service, and make repeated or have repeated interactions. They will always remain open to us. And it's actuated. These high-level communicate visionary ones, the visions, need I believe, the pineal gland in order to operate. Because I really believe that there is divine illumination that takes place. It's so, and it has holographic properties, amazingly, three-dimensional. Once such a vision plays and moves within my mind, it goes for a while until I would like to. I usually always want to watch it for a long time, but they're not lived. But just the concept that it was known that this plant had third eye properties for a long time. There was some indication that the cone-shaped turrets of in Siem Reap at the Angkor Wat temple, tremendous temple, it's considered equal in its importance as to the Great Pyramids of Egypt. Their turrets are shaped like pine cone shape, and resembling the pineal gland. And there's some interesting chambers in there which provide resonances in order to activate a higher sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went into a chamber and my guide went in there and says, thump your chest. And we were all in there and we kind of thumped our chest and it went boom, boom. That boom, and it resonated. I could imagine just being in there, not only thumping our chest, but having a certain, reaching a point of resonance.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point of resonance, in our physicality, where we at, in our bodies, would allow a opening to come forth and bring a resonance into our mind and communicate. Now, interestingly enough, those temples also show 12 elders or 12 highly awakened individuals that seem to remind me very strongly of the 12 elders I spoke with. And it's their communique, one of their intents is to communicate or to commune with the human race to help lift us and continue to lift us. Away from the animal nature into the higher nature. And as these temples were being exposed by French archaeologists, then this horrible act that came out of the Khmer Rouge literally stopped them in their tracks from discovering even more and preserving even more of these hidden histories or discovering them. So there's literally temples that have been disassembled, and all the information how to put it back together has been lost because of this concept of destroying all of this knowledge and trying to build up a timetable. Now the timetable is being pushed on me right now. This 2012 timetable is a real horrible deadline for the old devil, because he insisted that he could uplift planet Earth to a much higher level using techniques that would not need such things as the pineal gland or the holographic governance. He could use other governances and tools, the financial systems and whips and chains or whatever is necessary to bring up, using fear and greed and the natural animal primitive notions and present themselves as gods to uplift planet Earth. And that's coming to a very close deadline time in which he should have created a one world government and having at every a time of peace. Instead, he has continual struggling because there are too many people in this world who are attuned to various degrees on what is truth and what is righteous, and this is because people are attuned to the spirit of truth or the Holy Spirit, and the pineal gland takes a position in every person's body, and if it can be made dysfunctional by fluoride, well, they'll do that. Because these guys are trying to keep this, or trying to create this governance which would prove their point as being true, but really it's only putting it as a point which is more and more being proven as false. That you cannot truly rule the planet this way.
Well, it's interesting that you said that Nella worked with you with this tiny gland.
Yes, she said she did. They adjusted it a little bit, which basically means she just kind of woke it up.
Was yours dormant? Like, well, they said that at the age of 12, it's already calcified and hardened.
Many people are calcified, at that or near that point because of various things, and fluoride being one. I remember my dad coming home having had counsel with or discussions with, meetings with these people who wanted to fluoridate our water supply. Well, thank goodness they discussed it to a point where they decided that they were not going to do it.
Good.
Because, you know, why do, basically it came down to very simple, our water supply is one of the most pure in the entire world. Why put some foreign substance into it?
It's a byproduct of manufacturing aluminum.
Exactly, and it's a toxic chemical.
Fluoride we're talking about.
Yes. Mm-hmm. One that has been stated as being having to do great damage to the pineal gland.
It also makes human beings docile and takes away the life out of us.
Right.
But they were talking about this pineal gland in this video, and they said it's about the size of a raisin, and it's the seat of our soul and gateway to the universe and higher realms.
Right.
Or our
and
third eye.
One of the things that I brought to mind about it is that there is a woe in the Bible. It says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows his time is short. And that's the prophetic scripture. Now, what wrath would he have? Well, he is basically, it's not Lucifer, but one of his commanders that is still working very hard with those who want to keep their world empire government going. But, this is one of his great wrath ideas, is to poison, you know, our water to the point where it destroys our communicate to the higher governance, because they know all about it. These Luciferian or devil worshippers know all about it. So that's the thing that they tried for a long time.
Well, for those of us who do not live in Hawaii and have pure water like that, a distiller would be a really good idea. Takes all, you know, now you're just drinking just water. And it's in that new section I have in there, water distilled and ozone. But this pineal gland, it also says it has a mind's eye, like the lens of a cornea and retina, and it's
exactly.
And it's sensitive to light, and it's bioluminescent.
Yes.
And has a built-in transmitter.
Yes, all of that is absolutely true.
Tell us, what do you know about the built-in transmitter?
Well, one of the things is that if you are able to have somebody talk to a celestial, they can hear you, of course. It's the way in which they communicate. The higher level languages, the higher level language, the language that is common throughout, is a language that is, it has characteristics of our language, but dimensions that are higher than it. We can learn it or become accustomed to it here. One of the acuities or the becoming accustomed to it, is that the higher order informational channels, where not only are we translating acoustics in our brain structure into word symbols and then using those word symbols to elaborate thought or idea, we have via the pineal gland the ability to transmit emotion and thought in not only word symbols but in along or with structures that are common throughout the universe. It is the language of the common language.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The Urantia book talks about language that is learned or acquired. It is a Urantia language, a language that is common in in different parts of the universe, one of them being, let's say paradise, where Christ on the cross said the good thief would be with him because this day you'll be with me in paradise. Well, that segment is one of the areas operational with that language. But it incorporates the higher dimensions of not just our acoustic verbalization of a language. It's more than that.
And they also said by awakening our pineal gland, we can speed up our learning and memory abilities, enhance our intuition, wisdom, and creatively trigger our psychic and healing abilities and experience bliss.
Well, you must remember that the pineal gland alone in itself remains alone. It's much like your hearing would be, can be lost if you are in an area where there's no sound and there's, let's say, high visual.
Mm-hmm.
So your vision centers get bombarded all the time. And there's no sound, so your sound becomes somewhat, your ears don't become acute. But if you lost your vision centers, of course, you reverse around. But what happens is, much like, people having more and more brain assigned to work out sound or vision, the same thing goes to the interface with the informational stream or connection to the pineal gland. They can atrophy to a great degree, or they can be brought up via exercise and make those exercises fun. Like I say, simple ones. There's amazingly wonderful ones. There's also just ones in which you are looking at beauty. Beauty is another thing, way in which you can share via the pineal gland accesses the other way. In other words, our vision can be sent forth to our divine fractal and enjoyed together. And once that is enjoyed together, the exercise in our our soul environment, soul shared environment between the divine fractal, ourselves, and within that soul shared domain, we'll use the pineal gland plus the spiritual influences of the divine holy, the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of Truth activation. So all of that comes together to form ways of sharing. It's been called worship, but that word has taken so many different forms that are incorrect. What I'm trying to describe is true worship, worship in which the activation between our Father, our divine fragment within us, our Father relationship, and ourselves is activated, continual, and shared. Once that will become so close, of course, that we essentially will become glorified beings, fused, literally, truly, eternally fused, glorified beings, no longer mortal, but ascended toward a much higher, much, much higher domain.
Also, it said that the Vatican, they had an interesting photograph in there of a courtyard at the Vatican. And they said a special courtyard was built for this pine cone. And it was the symbol, it was like the largest pineal gland on display.
Yes, well, the pine cone is symbolic of other things too. But yes, it does. The pineal gland does look like a pine cone.
Well, the Vatican has this pine cone there. I mean, what are they referring to when they show the pine cone?
They have their own somewhat mystical ideas of it. So.
And is this connected with what? Like Nella and these celestial beings?
Well, one of the important things is that we have not truly been disenfranchised. We have been essentially in quarantine. Our planet is quarantined. But there are individuals that have, much like a physician, you know, is able to go within a quarantine area and function. This may have a higher level transitory quarantined area, which maybe the New Jerusalem does function as an extended area of higher level quarantine. In other words, it has many beings or higher origin, or are more on the functional level, or more what would, because in the religious circles, holy, more holy level, be working with the human race. Not only spiritual angels, but physical. We have to remember that there are many physical beings that have worked with us that were not really human beings of mortal origin, but human-looking beings of celestial origin, you know. That, I know, is fact, absolute. So that has been going on, too.
They also said, by the age of 12, it's already calcified and hardened, and by adulthood, it is dormant and atrophy from lack of use.
Mm-hmm.
What natural use would we have had with the pineal gland if it didn't become dormant and calcified?
Well, one of them is mental telepathy between ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
The demonstration of this was a lot of fun to see in my daughter and her cousin when they were little. My daughter, who's a pilot now, she developed her verbal skills, way ahead of her cousin, which they're born the same year, essentially the same age. But he couldn't say anything except, or something like that, just sort of mumbled.
Right.
The same mumbling,
Mm-hmm.
But because of their relationship, she would know exactly what he wanted and said, he wants to get that toy up on the shelf. Go get the toy and then bring it to him. And then, he's happy with that now. Then he mumbles something else. He's hungry. He wants something else to eat besides that. Something like that. And she was able to translate it very well. It was so interesting to see, because I remember very much the same thing going on with myself and my little brother. And we'd do the same thing. No one could understand him, but I could understand him perfectly well. And what has happened to me today is that I am still a good transmitter. And there are people who occasionally can hear me. My wife can hear me a lot. Yeah. So that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another game that we tend to play. But if we play that game of mental telepathy between ourselves, many times it doesn't work very well after a while, because it starts taking on a competitive tone. And our adjuster doesn't want to get involved with that.
You mean those kind of games?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is very interesting about the pineal gland being a transmitter.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but for the most part, receptivity is the last part to go. So if receptivity is going, transmission would have long been disabled.
Yes.
But it can be awakened through the person who has his own, he's attuned, like myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I place my hands on top of their head and enforce agent, become an enforcing agent or amplifier. It will break through the calcium. And it causes the person to receive what in spiritual circles would be called, or in Christian circles would be called, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the person will be in gifted one of the higher gifts. Yeah.
Hmm.
Many times there have been people who have received visions at that point, divine vision or informational vision, just suddenly played their third eye worked, because there was a message waiting. And voice, language, part of that, at least part of the language of the paradise language begins to function.
You mean the language of the universe?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can rejuvenate your pineal gland or pineal gland and be able to communicate better with the universe?
Yes, absolutely.
So we should get away from
requires an amplifier. Person already attuned.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, this is very interesting about this gland.
Again, in Christian circles, they call it laying on of hands, or lay their hands on for miracles or healings or imputing the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it really, really is all functional, not a bunch of hogwash.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
There's a reason.
Yeah. So the laying on of hands, because the person is an amplifier themselves, and just sort of shocks through the, and then that turns on the other person.
To explore the higher realms of consciousness.
Yeah. It can be acquired on a solitary point sometimes. But a whole lot faster for a attuned person to pass it along, to be an amplifier.
Well, great. That's if anyone has any questions about this, write in and we'll talk about it next time.
Oh, one of the interesting things I did receive. Got time?
Yes, go ahead.
It's a Christmas card from my mother. Now, I didn't have a communication from my mother, you know, but it was an interesting thing that I received a vision, and I saw everyone holding these cards, and I looked at the cards. I picked it up, and I started looking at the card, and I opened up the card. There was my mom, and she played a little excerpt about her, saying how she's happy where she's at, and she wishes us well, and then it only played that. It was like a recording. So she sent us a Christmas card at the Christmas time.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, everyone had one, but I was the only one who was able to read it.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, sorry you lost your mother, but she's out there.
She couldn't come back, you know, in the spirit. She has gone on, but at least so they sent the card back, which was, I guess, sent via the circuit that only those who are, although it went to everybody as far as her children was concerned, I was the only one that could read it.
Well, thank you, Michael. There goes another hour, and we'll talk to you next week, and wonderful having you back on, and again, thanks for sending in those comments, and Nicola about the pineal gland, and Jay about his listening to his thought adjuster. So we'll talk to you next week, and time to say aloha, and aloha, Michael, and everyone. We'll be back next week.
Okay, aloha, and the heart center is an activating point.
Okay. Aloha, Michael. Bye.
Bye.